good. Cool. I get my stuff laid out here. Sorry. They had a good week, huh? See a lot of head nodding. That's cool. I like that. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord for that. Thank you. An interesting week. It's been an interesting last couple weeks, actually. And, yeah. Some things you just, I don't know. The Lord turned this into a sermon. It really wasn't a sermon. I was just looking at some stuff, and it turned into that. It's, I don't know. We'll see where the Lord goes with this. I found a lot of interesting information on stuff that I had no idea about, but I learned some things. So let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. We'll get started. Praise the Heavenly Father. Father, we humbly come before your throne. We just, Lord, we're looking for you to show up. I need you to show up in me and to speak through me and to articulate your word, Father, that we can understand it, apply it to our lives, and knowing, Father, that you're God, that you love us, and you paid an ultimate price for us. And Father, we just need to be showing that love back to you. Father, we just ask it to be applied to our minds and our hearts so we can apply it to our life. Father, we can be in service for you because we do praise you and we do love you, Father. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. If I asked you a question, what is the most quoted verse of Scripture in the Bible? What would you think it was? Now, it changes with time. John 3:16, everybody knows that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We know that, right? That's not the most quoted verse of Scripture anymore. No. And I thought, well, that's kind of weird. What do you suppose the most quoted verse of Scripture is? Right now, 2019. Let me read it to you. I'm going to read it out of the Message Bible. I'm going to use the Message Bible and Amplified today because the Amplified brings it out. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 and 2. What's your Bible say there? Judge not, lest ye be judged. What? The Message says, don't pick on people. Jump on their failures. Criticize their faults. Unless, of course, you want the same treatment. Wow. That critical spirit has a way of boomeranging. It's easy to see a smudge on your neighbor's face and be oblivious to the ugly sneer on your own. I'm going to read a little bit farther down here. It says, you have the nerve to say, let me wash your face for you when your own face is distorted by contempt. Wow. It's this whole traveling roadshow mentality all over again. Playing a holier-than-thou part instead of just living your part. Wipe that ugly sneer off your own face that you might be fit to offer a washcloth to your neighbor. Don't judge, lest you be judged. That's the new thing. Don't judge me. I have a lifestyle. Don't judge me. Really? So I was looking at this, you know, and you start looking up the word judge, and you see the title of the sermon today is Lord, Savior, Judge, King. We know Jesus as our Lord. We know Him as our King. We know Him as our Savior. But do you understand? He is going to be your judge. Do you understand? He is going to be your judge. Don't judge me on this. I want to read something to you. You guys can do this. Don't Google it on your phone while I'm preaching because that would give me a complex or something and then I might judge you about messing with your phone when you're... But anyway, when you get out of church, Google this. The Flying Spaghetti Monster. The Flying Spaghetti Monster. Does that sound stupid? Listen to this. This is true. 2019, this year, today, it's actually going on. Listen to this. Is the deity of the church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster. Or Pastafarianism. It's actually got a word. Pastafarianism. I'm not lying. Listen to this. It's a social movement that promotes a lighthearted view of religion and opposes the teaching of intelligent design and creationism in public schools. Their agenda is, if you can go to a public thing, a public meeting, and you can pray to God, we're going to pray to the Flying Spaghetti Monster. How stupid are you? Come on! I'm not lying. Look it up. Go look it up. I heard it on the radio this week at a Christian station. The guy was praying to the spaghetti monster. If you didn't listen to the words, you would think he was in church. True! They want to be able to pray to the flying spaghetti monster at functions. And in New Zealand, they actually ordained these guys. They can marry people from the church of the flying spaghetti monster. Can you believe it? I'm looking like, what in the world? Where does that come from? You know, when you take God out of the schools, you know, when you push Him out of everything you're doing, He has to do nothing to you. He just lets you go. And you will destroy yourself with stupidity. And I thought to myself, when I heard that, I thought, what does God think about it? You know what I'm saying? I mean, if I think it's stupid, what does God think about it? I mean, just think, God's thinking, you're going to pray to a fly spaghetti monster? I heard Tim Hawkins, he's kind of a funny comedian, but he does this little skit, and when I heard this, I laughed. He was talking about the Snuggie. You ever hear that Snuggie? It's like a long sweatshirt, but they call it the Snuggie. Keeps you warm, you get in there all going up. He goes, Jesus has got to be in heaven saying, Father, let me go get him. Oh, look at this. They just let me go get him. I'm thinking, he's got to be thinking, wow. So, now you've heard a new word, pastafarianism. It's a word. Wow. So I was looking at this. So we're not supposed to judge people. I'm not supposed to judge some guy that's from the church of the deity of the flying spaghetti monster. Wow. Wow. So then I was looking at this, and I keep going, and I thought, you know, all right. So I'm thinking about what God would think of this, and I'm looking at this judging, and it's come down to this for me. Lord Jesus Christ paid an awesome price for you and me. He died on that cross. We believe that He died on that cross. We believe that He rose again, and He is God. One day, you and I are going to stand before Him. Now, I'm going to change this up a little bit on you, Julie. I'm going to go to Hebrews first. I want to go to Hebrews chapter 4. I want to look at some stuff. I like the Bible surf. Keeps your balance. Like the Bible surf. Hebrews chapter 4. I'm going to read something to you. This means a lot to the Jewish people when this was written. To us, it's not so much. And I want to explain this just a little bit. Hebrews chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 14 through 16 here. It says, and I'm going to read this out of the Amplified. It says, inasmuch then as we have a great high priest. Who is our great high priest? The Lord Jesus Christ. He has already ascended and passed through the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to understand and sympathize and have feelings for our infirmities and the liability to the assault of temptation, but one who has been tempted in every aspect as we are, yet without sinning. Let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in good time for every need. When the Jewish people heard high priest, check this out. Once a year, you're a male in Israel, Jewish, you're a Jewish person. Once a year, you were required to take yourself and your family to Jerusalem. On one day, you were required. One day, you had to go to this. You had to go. This is when the holy thing happened. This is when the priest, they have the sacrifice. The priest goes that one day a year. One day, he goes into the Holy of Holies. Goes in behind that curtain. He's got all the stuff on the turban. He's got the breastplate with the 12 stones. He's got this long flowing rope. He's got bells on his robe that jingle when he walks. They got a rope around his foot, so if he messes up, they can pull him out because God killed him because he messed up. Sounds pretty drastic, doesn't it? Whew. Wow. He can only do it once a year. This was the high priest. He was somebody important. He was atoning for the sins of the people of Israel, and you were required to be there once a year. Pretty big stuff, isn't it? Pretty big stuff. When he writes, we have a great high priest, we have a high priest whose name is the Lord Jesus Christ. He one time got sacrificed for the sins of you and I. One time paid the price. One time. And it was paid for eternity. Forever. Your sins, my sins, we just had to believe that He is God. We believe that He's God. And we have our sins. We can confess our sins to Him. It says He is faithful and just to forgive us. Faithful and just to forgive us. That's Christ. That's what, when they read High Priest, they're thinking, wow, this dude's impressive. And we as in the 20th century, we don't, if I say High Priest, somebody like, yeah, whatever. That's some kind of cult. Whatever. They don't understand the implications of what this is. This is somebody that's important. This is somebody who is atoning for your sins. And we know Jesus Christ did it one time. And He paid the price. He died on that cross. And He paid the price for you and for me. Isn't that something? He's a high priest. So we see the Lord. We see the Savior. We see the King. He's King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's God. And He's actually going to be your judge. Whoa. You know, I can say all mushy-feely, the, you know, Precious Moments Bible, little Precious Moments pictures and stuff. Isn't that cool? It comes down to the bottom line here, guys. He's also going to be your judge. The one who is sinless, the one who paid the price for you, He's going to be your judge. Let's go to John chapter 5. Let's take a look at John. John chapter 5. We'll read a little bit here. I just want to... I had to chuckle. I'm kind of silly that way, but I laugh. In John chapter 5, if you read the first part of the chapter, there's this guy that can't walk, and Jesus comes up to him, and He heals him. He says, pick up your bed and walk. And when you look at this, it's like, that's pretty cool. That's impressive. He healed this guy. And the Jewish leaders are like, it's not lawful for you to pick up your bed and walk on the Sabbath. What? Really? That's what they said. I mean, he's like, dude, He just healed this guy. It's not lawful for you to take up your bed. Really? So that's what Jesus is dealing with. And they're back and forth. With John chapter 5, and we'll start in 19. This is an answer that Jesus is going to give him here. He says, so Jesus answered them by saying, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you. In the Greek, this is all truth. Christ is saying, you know what, guys? This is the truth. I'm not lying. This is the truth. I'm going to tell you the truth. The Son is able to do nothing of Himself, but He is able to do only what He sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does is what the Son does in the same way. Verse 20. The Father dearly loves the Son and discloses to Him everything that He Himself does. He will disclose to Him greater things yet than these, so that you may marvel and be full of wonder and astonishment. The Jews were trying to tell Jesus that He was, I'm looking for the word here, He was blaspheming, you know, God by saying He was God. He was blaspheming. And Jesus said, okay, guys, I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't do nothing on my own. I only do what the Father shows me to do, and I'm only going to do what the Father shows me to do. But He's going to show me some other stuff. In verse 21 it says, just as the Father raises up the dead. Whoa. And gives life. What's this? And gives life to them. Even so, the Son also gives life to whomever He wills and is pleased to give it. Not only God the Father can raise the dead, but Jesus said, I have the power to do it too. Wow. You think that was something, picking that guy up from can't walk? You wait. Wow. Just wait. And I don't think He was being, it's not arrogant and proud. This is almost like Jesus saying, you think this is something? Something's coming. Something bigger's coming. Something a lot bigger's coming. Verse 22. What's it? Even the Father judges no one. For He has given all judgment into the hands of the Son. Oh. So you mean to tell me God the Father is not going to judge you? That judgment is given into the hands of our Savior, our Lord, our King, Jesus Christ. Cool? Wow. So that all men may give honor to to the Son, just as they give honor to the Father. In fact, whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who has sent him. Jesus is kind of turning the tables here. If you read this and do a little word study, the Jews are saying, you're blaspheming God, saying you're God. You're blaspheming. Jesus says, no, you're blaspheming because you're not believing me. And if you don't believe in me, you don't believe in God. You're blaspheming God. He turns the tables on. Isn't that cool? Wouldn't it be... I'm the kind of guy that if I hear something, somebody says something to me, 10 minutes later, I got a good comeback. You know what I mean? I'm that guy. 10 minutes later, no, come back. You know what I mean? I think it's like, 10 minutes later, I got a good one. You know what I mean? Jesus is like, he gives them exactly what they need. He gives them exactly. He knows exactly. It's like, wow. So, God has given Jesus honor, that you can honor the Son. In verse 24, I assure you most solemnly tell you, the person whose ears are open to my words and believes and trusts in me has eternal life. You have to believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He came and died on that cross. He paid the penalty for your sins. And he rose again. I believe he's God. That's something? And he does not come into judgment. But he has already passed over out of death into life. You know, Pastafarianism, they're dead. You know, they're alive. You look at them, they're physically able to eat and walk and talk and run and run their stupid mouth about stupidity. I shouldn't say that word, but it's stupidity. It's just stupidity. Come on. I'm thinking, how do you explain that? But they're actually dead. Because they have no life of God in their life. They have no... You know what? They might think they're happy. They might think they got joy. They might think they're being lighthearted and funny. There's going to come a day. There's going to come a day. Wow. And I think we're done with that. I guess we'll keep going on here. So we know that God the Father has given God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, power of judgment over all men. Okay? Let's go to 1 Peter. I want you to see some stuff. 1 Peter 4. I want you to get a handle on something. 1 Peter 4, 17 and 19 here. Peter's talking, he's writing some stuff down here about different things, and there comes up the thought of judgment. Peter says something very interesting here. Verse 17, chapter 4, verse 17 says, for the time has arrived for judgment to begin with the household of God. You mean I'm going to be judged? Yeah. And if it begins with us, what will be the end of those who do not believe the good news, the gospel of God? If judgment's going to start with us, he says it's going to be the household of God, that's us. If judgment starts with us, pretty quiet, isn't it? Wow. In verse 18, look at this. And if the righteous are barely saved, what will become of the godless wicked? Wow. He says we're barely saved. Therefore, those who are ill-treated and suffer in accordance with God's will must do right and commit their souls to the one who will never fail. Wow. Okay, Matt, you're telling me my Lord, my Savior, my King, my God is going to be my judge. He's going to be your judge. But he was perfect. He was sinless. Yeah. He's God. Yeah. Doesn't it make you a little nervous? Make your palm a little wet, sweaty? God's going to judge you. Wow. I don't have it written down, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it talks about our deeds, the things we do for God, are going to be tried by fire. And those things that are tried by fire, that are done for God, will last to your reward. And the things you do that's not for God are going to be burned up. And the people that stuff that's done not for God, that's burned up, will barely be saved as the one that's brought through fire. Whew. What's all that mean? Sounds kind of high tech, doesn't it? I thought so too. We studied the book of Revelation many, many, many years ago. I did an interesting study on that, and it's kind of interesting. Let's go. We're here. We might as well go look at it. Let's go to the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible. Most people don't like to read or study or even look at the Bible, the Revelation, because I've had people tell me, dude, it'll just mess you up. It'll confuse you. I had the most interesting time studying Revelation when we taught in Sunday school. It was really cool. It was a lot of cool stuff I learned. In Revelation chapter 19, if you read the book of Revelation, it is the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. We talked about it in Sunday school today with the kids. It's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. That John said he turns around and he sees this like the Son of Man. He said he's in this white robe. He's got a gold band around his chest. His feet are like bronze, burnished in a fire. He said his hair is white as wool. He says eyes is flame of fire. And the kid's like, ooh. His eyes are flame of fire. And out of his mouth goes a two-edged sword when he speaks. And he says, man, and his countenance is like the sun. Dude, he's bright. That's Jesus. And he tells him, he says, I was dead, but now I'm alive. It's Jesus talking to him. And that's just a picture of him. And we go through the book of Revelation, all these the bowls and the trumpets and all this stuff that happened, all this bad stuff. God's judgment is being poured out on the earth. He's judging us. Interestingly enough, Jesus has a plan for you. Isn't that good to know? It's been pretty bad so far, right? You think, man, he's going to judge me. You mean all the stuff I've done? He's going to judge me. Yeah. Revelation 19. I want to read something to you here. This is pretty impressive. He says, after this, I heard what sounded like a mighty shout. Woo-hoo-hoo! A crowd, a great crowd in heaven, proclaiming, hallelujah. Huh? Wow. Salvation and glory and power to our God. Verse 2, because His judgments, are true and sound and just. He has judged the harlot who corrupted and poisoned the earth with her lewdness and idolatry and has avenged on her the penalty of the blood of His servants at her hand. God has poured out a massive, impressive, ugly judgment. His wrath is being held back. His wrath is being stored up because Jesus is still working. The Holy Spirit is still working to save, to bring Him to God, to bring Him to salvation. His wrath is being held back. Here it hasn't been. Verse 3. And again they shouted, hallelujah! Huh? You think it's going to be a wimpy crowd in heaven? Is it going to be a bunch of, got to go pray hallelujah again? You think? Woo! Huh? It's going to be hallelujah. And they did it again. The smoke of her burning shall continue to ascend forever and ever. Verse 4. Then the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell prostrate and worshiped God who sits on the throne saying, amen, hallelujah. Huh? God. Woo! Verse 5. Then from the throne there came a voice saying, praise our God, all your servants of His, you who reverence Him, both small and great. Verse 6. After that I heard what sounded like the shout of a vast throng. After this, he hears the shouting of a vast throng, like the boom of many pounding waves. Kapoosh! And like the roar of terrific and mighty peals of thunder, exclaiming, hallelujah! For now the Lord our God, the omnipotent, reigns. Huh? This is a picture of us in heaven praising God. Isn't this something? Verse 7. Let us rejoice and shout for joy. Let us celebrate and ascribe Him glory and honor for what the marriage of the Lamb has come and His bride has prepared herself. Who are you? God the Father's bride is the Jewish people. He picked them. He chose them. They're His bride. His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has picked the church as His bride. That's you. That's me. We have come to a marriage supper of the Lamb. Verse 8. She has been permitted to dress in fine, radiant, white, dazzling, fine linen. And signifies the righteousness. And the Amplified says, the upright, just, and godly living, deeds and conduct, and right standing with God of the saints of God. Check it out. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It talks about your deeds are going to be judged by fire. Your deeds are going to be judged by fire. And what's done for God is going to come through the fire, and you're going to get rewarded for that. And what's done not for the Lord, not for His will, not in His will, is going to be burned up. And I like the way this analogy is, because you're going to be permitted to dress in white, fine, spotless clothes. How can I, the sinner, pathetic guy that I am, be allowed to dress in white, perfect, spotless, sinless, perfect? The marriage supper of the Lamb. Isn't it going to be neat? Think about it. Isn't it going to be neat to be able to eat in heaven? When Jesus came back, remember when Jesus saw His disciples and said, "You got any food here?" They gave Him some fish and He ate it. We're going to still be able to eat. Steak. Big steak. Huh? Ice cream every day! Huh? We're going to be able to eat in heaven. We're going to go to a marriage supper of the Lamb. Woo! Foodies. Yeah, right? And the calories ain't going to matter. The carbs ain't going to matter. The sugar ain't going to matter. Isn't that cool? You're perfect! How do we get that way? We've already been judged by Jesus. We have already been judged by the Lord Jesus Christ at the marriage supper Lamb. You know what? This is the picture. God the Father. Satan probably going to be there. That deceiver. That accuser of the brethren. You know, Matt, he's a dirtbag. He's scum. He's a sinner. He's garbage. Jesus is going to say, "I know. But He loved me. And I loved Him. And I paid the price for Him. And I got the scars to prove it. He's mine. And ain't nothing can be said." He's going to do the same for you. He's going to do the same for everyone here. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, He's going to do the same for you. Your sins are covered in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Lamb. Covered. You guys all know who Billy Graham is? Was. He's passed away now. Everybody knows Billy Graham. Probably one of the, without doubt, he's probably one of the largest, most influential evangelists in the world to this day. I don't know. He was impressed. He preached to a lot of people. A lot of people got saved. True story. Billy Graham, righteous, godly man that he was, got a traffic violation. I don't know if it was speeding or not. I heard the story. I didn't catch what actually did. He had a traffic violation. He had to go to court. Okay, Billy Graham. Godly man. He broke the law. He goes to court. Judge is sitting there. Billy Graham comes in. He goes, "It's Billy Graham. It's Billy Graham. I always wanted to meet that guy. I really want to talk to him." Comes up to his case. Okay. Fine's going to be $100. $100. Billy Graham was okay. The judge goes, I'm going to pay, took the money out of his pocket, paid Billy Graham's fine. He said, "Brother, I want to take you out to supper. Steak tonight." That's the picture! You go before the Lord Jesus Christ and all this stuff that we did wrong. And he goes, "I paid the fine. Let's go to supper." Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? Huh? Do you understand that you've been bought and paid for the price? And Jesus, the judge, is going to judge you by looking at Himself. He's going to say, "He believed on me. He believed on me. I know he messed up, but he loved me. He believed on me." I love him. He's mine. Price paid. Wow. Isn't that cool? Doesn't that make you feel better? Huh? Let's go to Revelation chapter 20. So the marriage supper of the Lamb is taking place. You and I are in heaven with Jesus. You and I are spotless. Spotless. But looky who's going to happen here. We got verse 11, and I don't want to read all of it, but Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. It says, "Then I saw a great white throne, and one who was seated upon it, from whose presence the and from the sight of whose face earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them." The great white throne judgment is the judgment of the unsaved. You understand that? The great white throne judgment in Revelation chapter 20 is for the unsaved, the ungodly. You and I have already been judged. It's done. We are in heaven with God. This is another judgment that's going to come. And it says, "One whose face," this is abject terror. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to be sitting on a throne. It's going to be a great white throne. And everything is going to be called in front of Him. The unsaved, we're going to read here, unsaved, is going to be, they're going to be given up from every corner of the earth. I've had people say, "I'm going to get cremated so God can't get me." Good luck with that, brother. Good luck with that. God knows every atom that makes you up. He knows every atom that makes up your physical body. God knows every atom that makes you up. He has no doubt has enough power to put you back together. Isn't that cool? Verse 12. "I saw the dead." Great. Small. "They stood before the throne and the books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what they had done. In accordance with what was recorded in the books. And the sea delivered up the dead who were in it. Death and hell surrendered the dead in them, and all were tried and their cases determined by what they had done according to their motives." Wow. Great white throne judgment. Check this out. One day, the resurrection, your soul, if you die, or maybe we'll go to in the rapture, I don't know. Maybe we'll preach on the rapture someday. Your soul and your body are going to be reunited. You're going to have the same body that Jesus has. You can go through walls. You guys talking about me? You know what I mean? You can eat. You're going to be perfect. You're going to live forever. This body's going to be perfect. It's not going to sag or limp or get limp like this. You know what I mean? You're going to live forever. We're going to have that body. You understand the unsaved are going to have the same thing happen to them. They're going to be reunited with their body. Check this out. So death and hell, sea, everything. Anyone who has ever died unsaved, their soul has been in hell since they died. This is a different judgment here. Their soul is going to be reunited with their body, and they're going to stand before the Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're going to get judged. This is not a good judgment, guys. This is not a judgment that's going to say, "Hey, they're mine. I paid that price, they are mine." This is not that judgment. This is those who have never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Maybe they're a Pastafarianism, Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster, stupidity. I feel sorry for people like that. I feel so that they could be totally deceived by something like that. I feel so sorry for them. You know what? There's going to be no grace at the white throne judgment. There's going to be no mercy at this white throne judgment. There's going to be nothing but your deeds played out for everybody. And God's going to say, "You're going from me? Depart. I never knew you." There's not going to be anybody to say, "But wait, but. No. And you know, and I hope I can find this. I wrote this down. This second death, and it says here, if you read in verse 14, "Then death and hell were..." were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life, he was hurled into the lake of fire. Some people don't believe there's heaven. Some people don't believe there's a hell. But I'm here to tell you today, there is a heaven. There's a hell. And this second death, this death when your soul and your body are reunited together, you and I to eternal glory. In the presence of the Lord. Remember that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah! Woo-hoo! Sounds like a party. A party going on. This is not going to be a party. This is, and I'll read this to you, this is, indicates a lasting loss far beyond the extinction of life in this world. White throne judgment is a sentence of eternal separation from God. Wow. You understand everything that God... You like the day out there? It's a beautiful day, isn't it? A little warm yesterday, but it's beautiful. Sun's out, and it's nice. This is beautiful weather, right? You know God created that. Just for you and me to enjoy. Isn't that cool? There's not going to be anything that God is in hell. It's going to be torment upon torment upon torment. Never ending, never stopping. Part of the torment, I think, is going to be mentally you're going to know. In Luke, it talks about the beggar. He had all his senses. The rich man had all of his senses. He could feel. He could remember his friends, his family, his loved ones. He could hear. He could see. He could feel. He could touch. He had all his senses. He is condemned to an eternal lake of fire. Wow. It's kind of humbling. You know, when we're flippantly... We talked about Sunday school with the kids this morning. You know, I always ask for prayer requests from them. And some of the prayer requests are really good. Kids ask for their parents for prayer and stuff. Some of them are, I want. But you know, we're the same way. But when I talk to them, I say, you know, we flippantly say, God, you just give me this. I think sometimes we should get out of bed saying, Lord, you did all this for me. You did all this for me. And you continue to do all this for me. And you paid the price for me. And I'm not going to go to that second death. I'm not going to be at that white throne judgment. I'm not going to be there. I'm going to be with you in heaven. Whew. What can I do for you today, Father? What can I do for you? God's not a genie in a bottle, but He is God. I think we need to respect Him in that respect. I sometimes lose sight that He is going to be my judge. I'll be your judge. Actually, He's going to be the judge of the entire world. He's even going to judge death and hell. He's going to judge death and put death to death. He's going to have no power over nothing anymore. That's humbling. Pretty humbling. When you study the Word of God, it's very humbling. I'm going to read you one thing and I'm done here. I read this from C.S. Lewis. It says, the true church of Christ is a redeemed church, born of the Spirit and washed in the blood. With her judgments behind her, we accept the Lord Jesus Christ. She's just not yet rescued. We got a lot of stuff we deal with, right? You're redeemed. You're washed in the blood. You're a child of the Almighty God. You've got power beyond all power. God's in your corner. We just ain't seen it come to pass yet, the rescuing of us. We will. Read the book of Revelation. Pretty impressive. We serve a pretty impressive God. He paid the price for us. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we humbly come before you this morning. We just thank you, Father, that we thank you that you are our Savior. And you paid the price that we will never have to suffer. Judgment of the second white throne, the white throne judgment. We'll never have to suffer that, Father. We're going to be in heaven with you. We're going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb, whooping it up, praising you, Father, for who you are and what you've done. Father, I just thank you for that. I thank you for that this morning. I just pray that the words were good to fall on people's ears. They could hear and understand that you are God. You're not only our Lord and our Savior, you're going to be our judge. we're already judged because we've accepted you as our Lord and Savior. It's all behind us. We praise you for that. We thank you, Father. Strengthen us as the life ahead, Father. We can just be in service for you. Strengthen us in this world, Father. We can just be a light. Father, we don't want anybody to go to that white throne judgment. We just praise you, Father, who you are. We thank you, Father. In your precious name we pray. Amen. I think Jesse's not quite up there. I was looking to see an elder come up, but I don't see him come out yet from the kids. Praise band, come forward. We're going to sing a little song. We're a little short on people today. I had some people get sick, and Jamie wasn't feeling too good this morning. And Jess, her mom, Trish, was at the hospital most of the night last night. She had blood sugar and blood pressure problem. And I think basically what they ended up doing is just making sure she